You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
With profound gratitude and great humility, I accept your nomination for presidency of the United States.
On the 45th anniversary of the end of Dr. King's March on Washington, Barack Obama began his march to the White House by beginning the campaign for the general election in a speech in Denver that was history-making for many reasons. Not only the fact that he's the first African-American to become the nominee for a major party. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein was there in Denver at Mile High Stadium. So lots to talk about here. I mean, just the scale of the event itself was historic. Andrea?
I know it's cliche, but words fail me. I've never seen anything like it. There was 84,000 people that eventually filed into this stadium. The mile was at one point 6 miles long to get in. And there was this huge crowd, and it was lots of sort of more kind of grassrootsy people, Obama people, less the sort of, you know, Democratic Party official, although obviously they were all there as well. And this was his first crowd of the week where it was overwhelmingly his crowd, because in the convention hall there'd been all these Clinton delegates, but they
you guys
were
have
just
been so
completely
cynical all week. I told you this was going to happen. I told you.
Nice try, yes, John. Nice try.
Well, you know, John, I hope that you didn't bother to watch, since couldn't have been any news happening.
No, I stayed up. Actually, it convinced me. It convinced me.
It changed your mind.
It was an amazing event. I agree with you.
Well, yeah, people were, and you know, before the event, people were sort of, you know, they were kind of nervous because, there had been all this chatter. You know, why is he doing it here? He's playing into the Republican notions of celebrity. You know, maybe this was not the best idea. People felt like, oh, we had a good convention. It was a good week. A lot of the wounds have been healed. We're moving forward. But people were worried. I saw a senior official from the Obama campaign before the night began, and he looked like he had swallowed lemons. I mean, he looked like an unhappy person, like it might just all fall apart. So it's in this context that, you know, Bill Richardson comes out and Al Gore comes out, and there's, you know, all of this swinging, and Stevie Wonder is singing Sign, Sealed, Delivered, and the crowd is rocking. And there was a point where even the camera stand where I was standing was just sort of flooded by people. It's as if everybody wanted to come and witness this event. And Obama starts to, you know, talk about his life, and he talked about his mother being on food stamps and his still being able to go to some of the best schools in the country. He talked about his grandmother, who was a secretary and rose through the ranks. His grandmother, who is still alive, and he said, you know, Grandma, you know, I know you can't come here tonight, but I know this night means a lot to you. And then he hits right at the McCain campaign.
I don't know what kind of lies John McCain thinks that celebrities lead, but this has been mine. These are my heroes. Theirs are the stories that shaped my life. And it is on behalf of them that I intend to win this election and keep our promise alive as President of the United States.
You know, I suggested at the top of the hour that this sounded more like a State of the Union address than a typical campaign speech. And part of that, I think, is because he really made a list of the changes that he was actually going to propose as part of his administration. It was very comprehensive, didn't you think?
Yeah, he did. And it's very interesting because last week when I was in all of those swing states talking to people, so many of them said to me, I don't really know who Barack Obama is. There was one woman who was against the war, who didn't like the shape of the economy, who didn't like the president, but said, I don't know what kind of change Barack Obama would bring. And this speech answered that in great detail. He talked about health care policy. He talked about education policy. And he just began to go through one by one all of these different policy prescriptions that you might not usually hear in a speech like this, which is supposed to inspire. And he began, you know, they've changed their slogan. They've sort of slid it over from change you can believe in to the change you need. And he sort of really laid out last night what that change is, including on an issue the Republicans have hit him hard on this summer, taxes.
I will cut taxes for 95% of all working families, because in an economy like this, the last thing we should do is raise taxes on the middle class.
And, of course, he was accusing McCain of cutting taxes only for the very, very wealthy. What did he have to say about foreign policy?
Well, I should note that the prepared text just said, I will cut taxes. So the way he sort of said, listen now, cut taxes. I mean, he was really trying to get people's attention.
Andrea, just before we get to foreign policy, he almost sounded a bit like Bill Clinton in the litany of things that he said that he planned to do. And he actually referred to Bill Clinton and the 23 million jobs that were created under his administration, which was interesting, right?
He did. It's the first time. See, now I remember this is like last night. I said it was the first time I'd heard Bill Clinton say nice things about Barack Obama. You know, right back at you with Barack Obama. He's been saying we need a change from the 1990s. And he embraced it. And he said that the economy had done well and that the Bush administration had failed the country. And
well, you know, one of the achievements, Andrea, I think, is that it wasn't a wonkish speech. I mean, I think Clinton, in the hands of Clinton, this speech would have been wonkish, but it was just very simple sentences. Inspirationally said, he didn't dwell on a lot of statistics. He didn't feel like you were at Brookings, but you definitely got a sense of change.
Not that that would be a bad thing.
Well, I don't know. Doing it without being wonkish was amazing to me.
He did. He kept people at this high level, and he did it through lines like when he talked about the war in Iraq, and he talked about soldiers dying there, and he said they didn't shed their blood for red states, for blue states. They shed it for the United States of America. And, you know, when he said stuff like that, the crowd just went wild. That is a moment that he delivered, a line that he delivered in a speech in Iowa, I think it was back in December, that was widely believed to have just turned things around for him. I mean, he was behind in Iowa for a long time, and he never looked back after he made, you know, that line. He also went after McCain on foreign policy. I mean, he just took it right to him. He said John McCain likes to say he'll follow bin Laden to the gates of hell, but he won't even go to the cave where he lives. And he was just started criticizing him. He said, you don't defeat a terrorist network that operates in 80 countries by occupying Iraq. I mean, he just went on and on.
If John McCain wants to have a debate about who has the temperament and judgment to serve as the next commander-in-chief, that's a debate I'm ready to have.
Well, so how do you take this energy of 84,000 people in that stadium? And I guess they had rather elaborate mechanisms for people to sign up and get more involved in the campaign. But how do you take that energy and make a national machine that's going to deliver the vote? Because that's ultimately what this is all about.
So they had two tasks last night. One of their tasks was to take those 84,000 people, including many of them from this state, from Colorado, which is a swing state, and bind them closer to the campaign and make them feel that they were part of the movement, while at the same time appealing to middle America, not seeming like he was this sort of radical guy wanting to bring all kinds of unexpected and crazy changes. And one of the things they were doing early in the evening was they had this giant map up on the screen and with all these stars on it. And they said, you should text us now. And that if you text them right then, the star from your area would grow if enough people did it. And they were trying to get areas to compete with each other. So they were already organizing right there. But some other things happened last night. After I saw one high-level union official who said that she had decided during the event that this, you know, she was really going to get on board and really get involved. And there's a Hillary Clinton fundraiser that decided during the week that she was going to become a big bundler for Barack Obama, raising lots of money, down to people at the grassroots who were saying, you know, I'm going to go home, I'm going to register voters, I'm going to knock on doors, I'm going to get involved, I'm really going to do all
the things.
But
that was part
of
the deal, though, too, and even getting into the stadium, wasn't it, Andrea? I mean, people got a ticket in exchange for agreeing to donate some of their time between now and November, didn't they?
I think lots of people wanted to see what was going to happen, but this was a motivated crowd, and it was very moving. I mean, before the speech, there was a member of the New York City Council who said, I'm not going to get through tonight without crying. And then right then and there, he started to cry. Producer Jim Colgan and I, we were out afterwards getting a bite to eat, and we met a man who said, my great-grandmother was a slave. She was alive until I was 9. I can't even process the meaning of tonight. So it was very moving, and people really sort of left feeling extremely jazzed. The Barack Obama campaign official who looked so nervous beforehand sent me an email saying, we hit it out of the park. So great relief in the Obama campaign also. They felt like they did what they needed to do.
Well, Andrea, thanks so much. I mean, I'm a little envious, actually. I kind of wish I was there for the first time this week.
You would have been crowding on the camera stand with me, though, now.
Yeah, I would have been stuck behind people standing up. I wouldn't have been able to see the stage. But we do need to watch, you know, how this energy is translated into a national organizational movement, because as we go to November, it's all about the organization. Andrea Bernstein, Jim Colgan, and the Takeaway Convention team in Denver. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.